Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday night, February the 18th, 2022, 15, coming up on 16 minutes past the hour. Angie Evers joins me live in studio, and we're already having mic trouble right off the bat. Now I think we're okay, but...
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, which is great because we've been having mic trouble with that mic all week. We had Dr. Davis in here, and it sounded like he was kind of far away. Then we had Jason Schauber in here, and there was a little... I mean, you could hear him, but it sounded like they were far away. And then the pastor today had a little bit of a buzz in the line. So I've switched out the cords on that mic now. So it's okay.
Hopefully.
Yeah, well, it sounds good now.
I never know if people can hear me or not. I'm not the loudest person around.
Well, the phone lines are open. If somebody wants to call in and let us know, we'd love to hear from you. Just love to hear from you in general. 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz.
You know, I ask Scott every week, what are we going to talk about? And you know what he says? I don't know.
Well, I really don't know going into the show. I don't think about it.
I said, I have to mentally prepare, but I can't just roll things off my tongue like you do.
So in the 2 years we've been doing this show, you have never been mentally prepared?
No.
Now today I put President Harding on the other microphone, which I thought was a nice show pre-President's Day weekend.
Yeah, to have a president on?
See, that's something only radio can do. Really.
Maybe. I mean, he can dress up.
He can, but really, as much as you want to do it on television, you know it's not President Harding. If you were listening to that today, and you didn't know what President Harding sounded like, which most people don't, and... the way it was conversational, and the fact that it was live. He was improvising. Hello to whoever's out there. Radio can take you anywhere in the world. It can take you anywhere in the world. It can have a conversation with anybody in the world because it's theater of the mind. You know, it's completely different.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if I have a theater of the mind.
Go ahead, caller.
Yes, Scott, who won the drawing?
What's that?
Who won the drawing you had today?
Oh, the drawing today. You know what? I don't think I ever drew because we didn't get a chance to ask many questions because of the president being here.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah, I was busy. I'm working on the plumbing in my house.
Uh-oh. What happened?
Oh, nothing. I'm still working on putting my washer and dryer upstairs.
Finally decided to do it after all this weather, huh?
Yeah, well, I'm kind of slow.
Yeah. Well, that's a big process.
It is.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to ask any questions in hour number two or hour number three, and then really even over the noon hour, we got into a conversation. I'm trying to think of what in the world we were talking about at noon. There were a few trivia questions, but we ended up veering off about something else. Oh, it was about... Carolyn Aiken and the channel down here, the cable channel, or I guess it's not cable. What is it, TV39? We ended up talking about that. So we just didn't spend a whole lot of time on the drawing in the presidential trivia. Then I found out that I was asking the same questions that Glenn had asked the day before.
Yeah, he got, sounded to me like he got a little miffed when you was talking about that Kerry Phillips thing.
Oh, yeah, you heard that part of it. Yeah, right there before the first break this morning, he got a little tight under the collar.
Yes, he did.
Well, I had to bring him back to Earth because I had to remind him that he was a journalism man and that that's what journalists do. I was asking him the question.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing that I think most people don't like. Now, would you... Let's say in the case of Harding, because that's over 100 years ago now. Now, is it best to go on and speculate about him having an affair, or is it best to ask him? If I ask him, I'm saying I don't know.
Yeah. He acted like, you know, I mean, being Harding, that he'd been asked that question a million times, and he was just tired of hearing it.
Well, but you know, to be honest with you, I don't know if that was the actor getting angry about being asked the question over and over, or if it was how he thought President Harding would react to getting asked that question over and over. Because
yeah, I couldn't tell. I couldn't tell if it was him or if it was him as Harding. I couldn't tell. It was good, though.
Yeah, I don't think it was him, to be honest with you, because during the breaks, we were fine. It's not like we were sitting here in silence or anything.
Yeah.
So I think it was more of how he thought Harding would react after being asked that question over and over. And it is interesting, because nobody really ever asked Harding that, because electronic media had not really happened when Harding was in office. And newspapers really didn't do that. It's still the problem with newspapers today. Newspapers only print what they want to print of a conversation.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's the same way with watching the news on TV. You get the highlights, but you never get the whole story.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's interesting to me that Harding was never asked that. So, really, nobody knows how he would have answered to that. I mean, he was an affable guy, we all know, but would that have got him hot under the collar? Would he have admitted to it? I don't know.
Don't you think Florence probably fielded most of those questions?
Well, she might have, but after seeing her diary, or it's not really a diary. What it is, if you ever get a chance to go to the First Lady's Museum, this will give you the best insight into Florence Harding, because
yeah,
I was even talking to... the First Lady's Museum's in Akron, isn't it? Canton.
Yeah.
Is it Canton? Yeah. So, they'll get it for you if you make an arrangement for them, and it's under plastic. But really what it is, it's an old calendar, and she has just written things on it. Now, it's after the president died, I believe. But it's interesting, because all the stuff she's written on there in her own hand is all negative toward men. That's really what it is. It never says any names. It doesn't say President Harding. It doesn't talk about her father. It doesn't talk about her first husband. It's just all sayings, almost, about how you can't trust a man and men are evil and that sort of thing. It's fascinating that that is what was on her mind.
Yeah, I remember when you was interviewing Craig Schumer, I remember him talking about it.
Yeah, it really is a fascinating a piece of paper to look at because I don't know. She was, I think she was completely aware.
Oh, yeah.
Of what was going on.
He said, and I'm assuming that it's a historical fact. I don't know. I haven't checked into it that far, but she said she knew what she married.
She might have. The other part of it was what the man who came in and impersonated President Harding said was, he says, you know, it's really hard, in a way, to stay true to Harding because, aside from the factual things, the speeches and things of that nature, you really don't know You don't know how he would have reacted because there aren't recordings. There aren't, and very few speeches were recorded, and it was very crude at the time. So you really don't know what his personality was. You know, the tone of his voice, how he handled things.
I mean, they can only, as portraying those characters, they can only guess how that person would have reacted to questions or how they would have answered. I mean, they do a good job about answering. But, you know, nobody really knows. They have to guess at what they would, how they would react to stuff.
Well, and I think that's why he hesitates when it comes to an opinion question. Because he really probably, well, how would he know what Harding's opinion is on something? Now, factually, you can say that this was my Secretary of the Interior. Yes, I knew J. Edgar Hoover, because that's all factual and documented. But to say what he thought of them, I mean, you don't really know, because there wasn't a diary that Harding wrote. Now, his love letters, oddly enough, even though they aren't the nicest thing in the world to find, they do give an insight into things that he did not want in the public domain, because he never expected those to be read.
Yeah. So Florence didn't get to all of them? There was actually some of them still around?
Oh, quite a few of them. There's a whole book.
I got to get over to that museum.
Yeah, well, it was Carrie Phillips who kept them. It you know, that's why people look at her very badly, because they were exchanging letters, Carrie Phillips and President Harding, for many, many years.
Yeah.
And she kept the letters. Now, interestingly enough, she never released them. And she didn't die till the early 60s. She got ill at the end of her life. She lived into her early 80s, and she got ill. I think she lost her mind. I think she got Alzheimer's or something. And when they were, they moved her into a nursing home, and when they were cleaning out her house, they found them.
Yeah, so, I think I can remember something about that.
Yeah, so I can't say that she was even ever going to release them, to be honest, because she had 40 years there after his death where she could have.
Yeah.
And she never did. But they found them. You know, and I always wondered, who really found them? Now, the lawyer, her lawyer was the one who cleaned out the house, but I don't know, I mean, did he... I don't know. Did he find them? I don't know.
No, I don't know either. It was before my time.
But they ended up in the public domain, that's for sure.
Well, something to give you insight into Harding. I mean, you have to look at the good and the bad to get a sense of the man. You can't just look at the good stuff he did, because that won't tell you about the man. Not only, you know, you get half the story that way.
You know, I will say something, though, and we did talk about this during one of the breaks today. I think he was afraid of Florence. I think to a greater degree than people think. Now, do I think that she killed him? No. I think that's one step too far. But do I think he was afraid of her? Oh, I do. I really think he was fearful of her. I think he felt she was connected financially, and he really had no connections in his life. He didn't come from money. He didn't, he wasn't a mover and a shaker, really. She was stern. You know, she used to spank those kids at the Marion Star.
Yeah, I get the impression from that interview with Schumer, I get the impression there was a lot of people afraid of her.
Yeah, and I think he was one of them. And I think probably, and I hate to say it, I don't think they had any marital relations. So she was more of a, just a friend by that point. And I think that also added to the fear. Because I think he knew that she knew that what was going on. And I'm sure she did know, the way she distrusted men.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So it's an interesting story.
It is.
Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Yep.
All right, phone lines are open, and good luck on getting that washer and dryer upstairs. Give us a buzz if there's anything on your mind, 740-383-9944.
Did you ever post any pictures from when we went to that museum?
You know, I don't know if I ever posted any of those or not. I don't think I ever posted any of the diary, as they call it, because I don't know if you ever sent me those. I know you sent me some that day.
Like, I have it here on my phone, and one of these notes that says, "We are tired, my heart and I."
Yeah, that's what she was writing. Now, what year is that? Probably 1924, the year after he died.
Yeah, it's hard to read her writing. I mean, it's just very hard to read it. So I could read that one really easy. There was another one that I could just barely read. And it talks about... to me, the deepest learning without good... It looks like it says breeding... Oh, I have no idea. Something in it tires me.
Well, I just think she did not like men. Her father was a very strong disciplinarian. Obviously, she and her first husband did not have a good relationship. It ended in divorce. And clearly, President Harding and her did not have a very good marital relationship. So I don't think she trusted men at all.
Like, this note says, "My life has been a series of tragedies, and while I..." Something, it almost looks like unloved myself to bend to the heart. It says broken down. Something about fallen. I don't know.
My life has been a series of tragedies.
Yeah, and then this one says, "The happy wife is not the woman who has married the best man on earth," but I can't read the rest of that. I wish I could read it.
I don't know, is there somebody who can decipher handwriting?
Yeah, I'm sure there
is. Those are the type of things she was writing.
I mean, we don't read much cursive anymore, but I mean... I know how to read cursive, you know.
Well, it's
know
hard
how to
read
cursive.
Well, I don't think she was writing that to be read.
It's just kind of like chicken scratch, kind of. You know what I mean?
Well, I think she was just jotting things down.
Right.
She was not a happy woman.
No, you can tell by these things that they're all kind of sad. Like, she was just kind of a broken-hearted lady.
I don't know. Does anybody have anything to say? 740-383-9944. I think the Harding story is a very interesting story. I think it's fascinating. I think they were highly complicated people.
Very. Well, you know, if Harding was getting defensive when you were talking to him about the whole affair thing, you know, if... I'm sure everybody has heard the Shermer interview, how mad Florence gets when you talk about that.
Well, I think you get angry when you know something's true.
Right.
Why would you get defensive about a lie?
You wouldn't.
I don't think you would. But see, I still don't really know how much people know about Harding in this area.
Probably not much.
I don't think they do.
No, I mean, that interview that we did last night, I mean, I learned a lot.
Don't care. And that's okay, I guess.
I mean, to be honest, I could take it or leave it. You know, I'm not a big history person. So, I mean, unless you're big into history, I mean, it's kind of neat to listen to the story, but... You know, I'm not, like, into history.
What I like is that everybody has a story. That's the interesting thing. You don't have to have been a president or a first lady or anybody. You could work at the Dairy Queen. Everybody's got a story in their life that led them somewhere. And I think everybody has a moment in their life that changes their life.
Or many.
Well, I don't know if it's meant. I really think there's something. I think there's a definitive moment that if you scraped everything away in somebody's life, you could find that moment that changed them and probably marred most everything else in their life.
Hmm.
Like, very few people will say they hate their parents. But parents do a lot of damage to kids. But nobody wants to say they dislike their parents. But there are a lot of definitive moments that, you know, I'm sure define how kids live their life.
Right. I mean, I don't know. I try to think in my life if there was one specific thing. No, I think in my life I've had multiple things that have...
Well, like with her, like with Florence Harding, I think she ended up distrusting a lot of men, but I think she probably trusted men until she was betrayed the first time, and then everything else came with skepticism. So that would have been the definitive moment, even though there were other moments and other situations where many other men betrayed her. The first one gave her a good dose of skepticism about the others. I doubt she was a skeptic before the first man mistreated her.
Well, I would say a lot of people are probably like that. I mean, you can get duped by anybody. You can get duped by friends. I mean, a spouse. So, I mean, I think once you have that happen, you're always going to be leery.
But I trust most people until they give me a reason not to trust them.
Right.
Doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. I will trust you until you give me a reason no longer to trust you. Like, I'll depend on you to do things until you give me a reason not to depend on you to do things.
I mean, I understand that. But, I don't know.
Anybody have any thoughts? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. And I'll tell you also, if you would have asked maybe Florence or Warren Harding what their lives were, well, they might not have been as harsh as people who are looking from the outside in and saying, boy, that was a mess.
Yeah, but, well, another thing you look at Bill Clinton. He was asked questions and... He did not tell the truth. So, I mean, do you expect Harding to tell the truth?
About that?
Yeah.
No. I don't know any man that ever did who was a president. And a lot of them had affairs. Franklin Roosevelt had affairs. Eisenhower had affairs. Bill Clinton had affairs. Warren Harding had affairs. John Kennedy had affairs. I don't think any of them ever said yes.
So, I mean, I don't know why you would even bother asking when you know you're not going to get a truthful answer.
Well, because a lot of times you know the truth, so you give them the benefit of the doubt. And you say, I'm going to ask you this. I hope you tell me the truth. And you don't always get an answer. You don't always get a true answer. But what can you do? And that doesn't just go for affairs. That goes for anything. I mean, I've known people in interviews, you know, I don't know how, 10,000 interviews later and 20 years later, I've known when people were lying right to my face.
In an interview?
Yeah. Because I knew what the truth was. There are some things you know the truth of. And the person will sit there and lie to you.
Well, see, that's when, okay, because I've had this happen to me a lot. So, when you know something for a fact, and you ask the person, hey, did this happen, or, you know, did you do this, and they say, no, I didn't do that, but you know for a fact that they did, and then they lie, I mean, how can you trust them again? I don't know. I don't know.
Well, I think it depends on the situation. Because everybody, to some degree, tells a lie.
Like how?
Oh, people lie about their time. People lie, do I look good today? How does this look? Do you like this person? When you know you don't like them, but you're not going to say that because you don't want everybody to know you dislike them. So you kind of hem-haw it. Nobody's a straight shooter all the time.
I don't know. They might. I don't know. I don't like to lie, so...
Now, there are people I know you don't like. Now, if I said right now, do you like this person, would you give me an honest answer?
Well, I don't know anybody I don't like.
Well, let's just say you haven't always been complimentary of certain people.
I don't know.
Do you like everybody you work with?
Well, no.
No. But if I said a name right now, and said, do you like this person, would you tell the truth?
Well, I don't know, but we're not going to do that.
See? And that's exactly how people feel about affairs.
I mean, I get along with everybody okay at work.
Well, getting along and liking, I think, are two different things.
Well, yeah, but I mean, there's very few people I don't like. I mean, you would have to do something really evil to me for me to not like you. So.
Well, I think that's good. But I also think, I don't think there's anything wrong with telling the truth, but I also think you don't want to hurt people's feelings.
Well, no. But usually, I mean, if you don't like somebody, they probably have a mutual feeling, don't you think?
No. There are people who I don't like who I know like me. Or at least they're pretending like they do, which to me is the same thing.
Well, you fake it till you make it.
Right, but you know, there are people who I like who I don't really... If they dislike me, that's okay. A lot of people can't do that. A lot of people's anger about people is because, oh, they don't like me, so I've got to dislike them. Well, I don't like that. I think that's silly. I mean, if you dislike me, but I like you, well, I'm still going to like you. If the only reason I can come up with to dislike you is because you dislike me, I don't think that's very good or interesting.
Yeah, I guess, you know, not everybody gets along with everybody, so you're always going to have people that don't like you everywhere you go, or, you know, but I try to get along with everybody. I mean, I'm a pretty easy person to get along with, so I don't know.
Isn't this all, though, just perspective? Isn't it all just the perspective of the person looking in again? You know, if we look at the marriage of anybody, now I can say, boy, that's a horrible marriage. They might not feel that way. They go home to it every night.
You never know.
There are many people I would not want to be around all the time. And sometimes I have said it. And that gets you in trouble. So you're honest. Let me give you this, because I know these people aren't listening right now. But last year, I was asked a point-blank question. Do you like this person? That was the question. And I answered it honestly. I said no. Well, I was on the speakerphone. And the person was sitting in the car. And to this day, this is still an issue. Now, should I have lied?
I'm not sure about that one.
No, but I mean, aren't we talking about never lie? Lies create distrust. Well, that was one situation where I told the absolute truth. And the absolute truth now is the problem.
Well, that one was a little iffy.
So I should have lied.
Well, I don't know if I would have said what you said, but...
I just said yes. I don't like them. It was that that was the question. Do you not like this person? What do you say? And by the way, I did not know I was on the speakerphone, and I did not know that they were sitting in the car, which I think that's also inappropriate. Go ahead, caller.
Well, I think there's another person you shouldn't like.
Oh, let's add them to the list. Who is it?
The person that asked you that question in front of that person knowing that they was on speakerphone.
Well, isn't it interesting? I mean, see, I've said that too. I've said that the fact that they didn't tell me the other person was in the car with them, and the fact that they had me on speakerphone and didn't tell me that, you know, I
well,
think
good
that's...
friends, aren't they?
Well, yeah, I thought, yeah, that's a real... And then that's the person that's angry at me about this whole thing, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you can't tell, even if you want to be a straight shooter. I mean, when you deal with people, you know, like Angie there, if she wants to go straight shooting on everybody up there at the clinic, she might, you know, have some repercussions for that. She could lose her job, you know. And sometimes you have to save face to have your job, or... You know, you just can't be a straight shooter all the time.
Well, I mean, let's be Warren Harding or Bill Clinton here. Now, you're President of the United States. You're on national television. A reporter is asking you a question, and your wife is watching. Now, are you going to say, oh, yes, I've had an affair?
Yeah, I mean, when you ask somebody a question like that, you know what kind of answer you're going to get. You know, it's not going to be the truth.
No, you know it's not the
but
truth.
But I wish Clinton had said it was none of anybody's business instead of lying, but I don't hold that against him because...
Well, see, here's the problem, though. If you answer it's nobody's business when you get home to Hillary, how do you explain that answer?
Well, I'd rather explain it to Hillary than the whole country and caboodle, because she ended up sticking with him even though
right.
Everybody knows, so I would have took my chances on that.
Well, nobody ever leaves, though,
but
do
you? But how do you know Hillary does? You know, a lot of professional people like that really don't spend time, a lot of time with each other sometimes. You know, they get that way, you know. And a lot of husbands and wives that's been together for years, you know, the husband might know that the woman's hanging around with some guy a lot, but he really don't care. He would rather, you know, that guy take care of, you know, because he don't want it no more. And vice versa, you know, with him. But they don't plot it in front of everybody. You know, they know, but...
Well, the presidential one is silly to me because now we know so many of them have had affairs, and it's factual. Like I said, I could rattle off five in the 20th century. Harding, Kennedy, Eisenhower, Clinton, who else am I leaving? Roosevelt. We know that they were having affairs, and many of them were long-term, multiple affairs.
Yeah.
None of them ever admitted to it. So... I don't know why it's such a shock.
When you ask somebody a sexual question like that, if you expect the truth, you know what I mean, you're a little naive.
Well, that's why when people say, I never lie, I say, well, let's start going through your life here and let's find out. Because everybody lies at some point.
Right.
You have to. Because, like the situation I was in, all it's done is caused nearly a year of drama now. Now, I guess I should have lied. I should have lied is really what should have happened. I was too much of a straight shooter on that one.
But sometimes I would rather somebody be a straight shooter than lie, but sometimes there is a time to lie, too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but then you have to explain yourself.
Right.
Well, why don't you like this person? Well, why'd you have an affair? Well, so then comes the whys. Once you open it up and answer it honestly, then you got the why. To answer. And the why...
Depends on which way you went, whether you liked them or not, you know, there's going to be the why.
Well, right, but you don't have to defend...
Liking them.
Yeah, you don't have to defend a lie. And the lie would have been, I like them. You don't have to defend that. And it's easier. You know, the fact is, I mean, I'm not promoting lying to people, but the truth is that lying a lot of times is easier, and that's why people do it.
You're right.
So, it's
tell
interesting.
The truth, you got to keep things straight, you know, when you lie, tell the truth, you know, you don't have to worry about it.
Well, I mean, there have been people here at the station. I don't think there's anybody right now, but disliking coworkers is not exactly a new thing. I mean, there have been people in the past. Now, I would not say that I disliked them. If anybody would have asked me if I disliked the person, I would not have said yes. But as far as being favorable to them or liking the shows that they did, no, there have been many of those where I thought, eh, that's not my thing. I don't particularly care for that.
Or just somebody you're not going to sit down and talk to for, you know, a long period of time or do something with or something like
that. Right, and that has happened in the past. Now, the group here right now, and, you know, it's this sounds like a lie, but the group here right now is very good. I don't have any conflicts or anything with any of the people right now or judgments of any of the shows. But in the past, you know, 8 years, there have been a lot of shows on here, and there have been times where stuff people has said or shows that they were doing or the way they were handling situations were very difficult. And I wasn't always fond of them.
And that's the problem when you're the one in charge. You know, you have to worry about it, you know. If you're not the one in charge, you know, sometimes it's easier.
Well, you know, people ask you. That becomes the problem. If somebody does something wrong, they don't go to them. They go to you and say, now, why did you allow this?
Right.
Or why? So that, yeah, that's a problem after a while. But you know what? There are worse problems in the world, and hopefully you can walk yourself through those problems. But everybody here now is very, very comfortable. But I will tell you this. There have been just assumptions made by people over the years in radio that you are close with certain people because you work together or you're on the air and you have that type of relationship. When really, I mean, what's your definition of close? Do you hang out together? Do you go to each other's houses? Do you spend holidays together? You know,
well, some people are close, but yet they don't do that kind of stuff anyhow.
Right. So,
you know, some people, you know, they have to be with somebody all the time like that, you know.
Right. So I think close is probably relative.
Yeah.
You know, good relationship, yes.
But
like
Angie
the person,
said that
yes.
She's not too much into history, but boy, you wouldn't think she's Charlie Evers' daughter, would you? Charlie Evers knew everything.
Yeah, he certainly did.
I'm a pretty opposite of my dad in that way.
Well, you should have listened to your dad a little bit more when you was younger.
I should have.
Okay, I'll talk to you later.
Thank you, bye-bye. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We were talking about a relationship before we went on the air. Now, both of these people have since went on, but I'm telling you, neither of them ever said there was a problem, but clearly you could see there was a problem.
Before we went on the radio?
Yeah.
Me and you were talking?
Uh-huh.
Gosh, I don't even remember.
Well, I don't want to say the names because
know.
People know the names, but we were talking about a relationship between two people who knew each other for a long period of time. And if you would have asked them, they would have said nice things about each other and did, a matter of fact, but they were not, when they were in a room together, it was not friendly.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Now, would they have ever criticized the other person? I don't think so. But clearly, there was something there.
But that was a work thing.
But was it?
Well,
I don't know.
Maybe?
Because when you would talk to either one of them about it, they were nice about the other person.
It's hard telling. It's hard telling what people think.
It is. 740-383-9944. A very psychological study.
Maybe you should do a study.
Like what?
on this whole lying and all that stuff. Do a study.
Well, I just don't know that anybody's perfect all the time.
Well, no, nobody's perfect.
And I think being honest all the time would take a great deal of work.
Yeah.
Because you're going to hurt people's feelings.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I guess if you ask me if your hair looks funny, I'll tell you if it does.
I don't know. It's a complicated subject, and it's been a subject talked about for many years. Do you lie to the person, or do you tell them the truth and hurt their feelings? You know, there's been studies for years. If you know that your best friend is maybe being cheated on, do you tell them if they don't know? Because a lot of times, they'll end up hating you. Because you told them. And they end up believing the spouse.
You know what I did one time? I told... After me and my daughter's dad got divorced, he was on to his next wife. And I warned her. I said, you need to stay away. Because... you know, the same thing's going to happen to you that happened to me. And she, to this day, they ended up getting divorced too. But she, to this day, remembers that I forewarned her.
But she didn't listen.
She didn't listen. No, not at that time. I was honest.
And such is the story of life.
Right. But I think, if you're with somebody, you're going to defend them. You know, if somebody is like, he did this or that, I don't think they believe it.
What, right. And maybe sometimes they shouldn't.
But.
I don't know that you always believe it.
No, but I think, I guess if somebody's like telling you something like that, I think maybe now that I'm older, I would probably definitely listen.
You know what the problem is? People won't take the answer, none of your business. When it really, a lot of the time, is none of their business. But people don't like to be told that. You know, if somebody asks you a question and they want an answer, and you say, none of your business, they don't like that.
No.
But it really is none of their business.
Nope. It would probably maybe hurt your feelings if somebody said that. But I guess if you weren't close with them, why would you be asking them a personal question?
Some people are just extremely private.
Like you.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I'm extremely private or not.
I would say you are.
Now, people say that, but I don't know. Because I think I try... Well, obviously, I answered the question, do you like this person?
Yeah, but that was kind of a different situation. You're private about everything else.
Well, like what? What am I private about? Life in general?
Yes, your life in general.
Well, yeah, because I don't think it's all that interesting, to be honest.
Me and you are pretty close, and you won't even tell me half the stuff.
Well, I don't know if that there's anything big to know, honestly. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I guess is the answer. I don't know. I've never been a sharer.
on the way over here, we were talking about, which, you and I, we live on our own and we do our own thing, but, you know, I will tell you whatever, and then you're like, well, my work did this, and then I'm saying, well, my work did this, but I go into way, like, I guess I would say more detail about things, and you don't.
Well, I don't know that there's a whole lot to talk about. I don't know. I think some things are interesting and some things are not. And things that involve me, I really don't think are all that interesting. Most of the stories that I tell, if people listen, that involve me, usually I'm just a bystander in the story. It's really about the other person.
But I think if you, like, you would ask me that question. You would ask me a question, but if I asked you, you would answer it. But you would expect me to answer it.
Yeah, but I'm honest in saying that I'm not going to answer it. I don't try to lie. Right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm always curious why people want to know certain things. So I guess there's just a heightened curiosity on my level. Well, now, why do you want to know that?
But why do you want to know everything about everybody else?
I am nosy.
So, maybe other people are nosy and want to know things.
Maybe. Maybe. But, you know, I think it's, you know, the best thing I ever heard years ago, I heard Barbara Walters was being interviewed by somebody, and she said, you know, she became famous for making people cry during her interviews, which really... She wasn't making them cry. She was just asking them about things like their parents and tragedies in their life. And that does tend to make people cry when they reflect back on their childhood, if their especially if their parents are gone. So they were asking her, you know, why do you ask all those personal questions? Why? Because she was really one of the first people who did that. Why do you do that? You know, people cry. You've even become famous for that. And she goes, you know what? She said, years ago, I was interviewing Henry Ford. And I asked him a personal question. And he said, that's none of your business. And she said, I always wonder why more people don't answer like that. It's true. I mean, you want them to answer. But... why don't people say none of your business?
Would you say that if somebody asked you a question?
Well, I will tell you something. Most of the people who are good interviewers that I've known are not good interviewees because they don't want to talk about themselves. That's why they do this.
So if somebody asks you a question, do you feel like you're being interviewed?
I don't know if I feel like I'm being interviewed, but I have told people, people have asked me to come on their shows and do things like that, and I'm not always interested in it. It has nothing to do with the person. I just don't think I'm an interesting subject, and I don't think I'll be a good guest. So plus when you have your own show, you feel like you've said it all. You've maybe said it all 4 or 5 times.
I would imagine.
We're going to break. Be back in a minute.
Howdy, this is Pastor Steve Whitaker from Community Christian Fellowship. I am the host of the Pastor Spot here at the radio station. We are on live Friday mornings at 11:15.